Thank you for joining Manners and Other Matters, the podcast which brings you all the insights you need to navigate the intricate world of modern manners and elegant living. I'm your host, Louise Percy, and I'm delighted to be your guide on this journey towards a more refined and gracious way of life. I'm here to share my knowledge and insights with you, and I will also be bringing in a lineup of experts from the worlds of etiquette and elegant living to share their wisdom and experiences. The art of etiquette isn't just about following a set of rigid, traditional rules. It's about fostering meaningful relationships, both in your personal and professional life. Whether you're dining with colleagues, entertaining guests, or simply striving for a more elegant lifestyle. Subscribe to Manners and Other Matters today, and let's explore the world of etiquette, manners, and the pursuit of elegance together. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Manners and Other Matters, in which I'm going to be talking about children and manners, teens and manners. We're just finishing up our summer season here in Australia. Autumn's begun. It's wonderful to see the leaves dropping and the evenings becoming cooler. But we've all had a lot of time with our children and our teens, obviously, over a long summer vacation. And over the period of the last 3 months or so, I've had a lot of queries and wonderful questions from grandparents and parents about manners with children and teens in this day and age. Why is it so different to when we were young? Well, of course, it's going to be different. Society changes. And so today I want to look at delving into the fascinating realm, as I see it, of children and manners in 2024. As society's expectations shift and technology continues to shape our interactions, how do we as parents and grandparents, educators, and I'll leave that to the professionals to talk about, and society at large, however, look at blending the complexities of teaching manners to the next generation. So please stay with me as we uncover the challenges, realities, and strategies surrounding this very important topic. And I will also be giving you references in the show notes to some of the scientific aspects that I'm going to be mentioning in this particular episode. Learning good manners will give your child essential tools for life. And when I say your child, I'm talking generically here as a very proud grandmother of three grandchildren. Through my daughter's extended family, I have a 16-year-old grandson, and through her immediate family, I have a grandson of 10 and a granddaughter of 8. So a lot of what I'm going to be talking to you about today is actually coming off the background, not of all the technical bits and pieces, but what I have actually found works with my grandchildren in letting them know that manners are not something which are artificial, old-fashioned, but rather tools that will give them confidence when they go into situations such as staying over at a friend's place, hosting their birthday parties and being very good hosts, being good guests at other people's birthday parties, and respecting those that are older, whether they be their parents' friends, or particularly in my case, their grandmother. And I'll let you in on a little treat. My grandchildren don't call me nanny or grandma or anything else. Because my name is Louise, they call me Lulu. And I've been very much part of their lives, despite the fact I live on the other side of the country, since they were tiny, weeny little things. In fact, from birth for both of them. And so a week very rarely goes by where we don't FaceTime. Obviously, things were pretty jolly tough when we were all in the middle of the pandemic because I also hop on an aircraft to see them or they come over to see me every 3 months or so. So even though I'm not there to help with the homework and all that sort of thing, I'm there to always be an ear. And I'm sure as they get older, they're going to be ringing me and saying something like, Lulu, Mum and Dad just don't get it. Can I have a talk to you about this? And that will be one of the happiest moments in my life. But the principles that govern etiquette and manners are always from the very earliest days of our lives based on awareness of others and respect. But this doesn't come for children naturally. Their little brains have to develop. And so I will be putting the scientific notes in the show notes as a link so that you can actually go and have a look if you're interested in some of the bits and pieces I'm going to be talking about in this episode. But the manners equip your children, our children, to treat others kindly and empathetically, taking into account others' feelings. And your child will also gain the confidence that comes from knowledge in doing the right thing. No one wants to be clueless, whether you're an adult, a teen, a preteen, a child, or a toddler. We always want to know that there are some boundaries that are secure for us to understand. And as confidence grows, so do our children's ability to forget about himself, herself, or their self, and develop happy relationships. For all of us, it's a gradual process watching this happen. We sometimes have expectations. I know when I was having my children 40 years ago, we had books we absolutely followed to the letter, telling us what to do, when to do it, when to introduce foods to our babies, when to let them sleep through the night, when to cuddle them, when to start teaching them manners. And in a lot of ways, that's changed in 40 years. And do you know what? I think it's a really good thing. Back in those days, there was an old adage that children should be seen and not heard. I'm so pleased that's no longer part of what I consider good manners for children. And so while your little people will put into practice a few good manners, we all need to remind them often of other ones, but start with the basics and always enjoy the journey together, whether you're a parent, an educator, or a grandparent like me. I think one of the most important things to remember is that parents begin teaching manners by example as soon as a child is born. In the later years, particularly in the last 5 years, it's been determined by science that with parents modelling the behaviour they want their child to follow, they are giving the very best lesson in manners. And I'm going to talk to you about that on all sorts of levels. It doesn't matter whether it's your conversational style, your tone of voice, the way you sit in a chair, the way you stand, the way you greet people, the way you make eye contact, the way you dine at the table, not formally when we're families, but at least showing understanding to children that manners have a place at the table or wherever you're eating. If you have a lack of courtesy towards others, please do not be surprised if it actually turns up in your children. So whether we like it or not, learning usually takes place in the home through imitation. And so on that concept of modelling, I'm going to be moving on to a few more ideas for you about how you're going to do that. So your parental behaviour will always shape your children's manners and etiquette habits. So if this means you've got to delve inside yourself and have a look and see your behaviour from the eyes of others, adults as well as children, and you see that there are a few areas which could be tidied up and simplified a bit, why don't you do that? It's not only good for you, but it's great for your children. And I think we all need to take stock of ourselves at various times. We all go through different changes in our lives. If you're a first-time parent, you are learning to get into a whole new way of life. Whether you're a single parent, you're sharing responsibilities, you're listening to grandparents say, oh, well, we didn't do that in our time, and getting over that with consideration, empathy, and respect. From the very earliest, understanding your children are going to be modelling themselves on you. We all need a bit of a reminder sometimes. I remember the first time I became a grandparent. I was a step-grandparent first, actually. My step-grandson, he's my grandson, came into my life when he was 2. And I had to remember back to when my own daughter was 2 and what was expected, because you forget. You actually forget that when they're that little, There is so much that we can say to them, but they don't necessarily take in. So really, at two, which is almost the first time that they're going to be understanding what you're saying, there's very little that you can do because their little brains aren't understanding empathy, for example. Their brain's only just beginning to develop impulse control, and therefore taking a turn or waiting for a turn can be expected to last for just a very short time. They're still necessarily very egocentric and often assume that others can read their mind, particularly their parents, and we should know what's going on. So they're modeling their social emotional skills is what's so important in the early years, particularly in the areas of teaching compassion and kindness, through doing rather than forcing them to do something they're not developmentally able to understand. You can still encourage them and help turn taking, but just don't expect them to sit there with a friend taking turns without your support. Things like, it's Jack's turn now. When he's finished, you can have a turn. Or, I can help you wait if we can find something to do, or until he's finished. Or, I can see your friend wants the swing. Let's have 5 more pushes and then we'll let them have their turn. These are all ways of modeling with your tone of voice that works beautifully with these young little children. Let's be cautious about that. I know that we automatically quite often go into, yes, you've got to take turns, or you're a naughty boy or a naughty girl if you don't take turns, even when they're 2 and 3. But my suggestion would be that if you force them to share, it suggests their needs don't matter, remembering they're very egocentric at this age. So model, model, model. And in time, their little brains will develop, and with support, it will come and they will remember your modeling, not your words. Your words can frighten them if they're not getting it right all the time. So modeling for all of us as parents, new parents, educated parents, because you've had a couple of children, and certainly grandparents, I think is really, really important. When they're a little bit older, once they're getting to 6 or 8, they become much more capable of rational thought. And that's when we can actually give them examples, give them some aspiration, give them some affirmations, because they'll develop a true understanding and respect for rules and can understand what's right and wrong. And what about those ages between 2 and 3 and 6? Well, in those little years, they're actually deciding and starting to understand that others don't see things exactly as they do, and that others have feelings, but the actual concept of empathy doesn't hit until they're about 7. So I think that while young children may understand the general idea once they get to 3 or 4 of sharing, their sense of empathy and their impulse control, they're not developed enough to stop them from keeping the dump truck for themselves or the Barbie doll for themselves. In fact, it's been scientifically proven that sharing is still in practice mode until about the age of 7. So what do we do then to help with the manners, understanding that background? I think that we need to look also not just at our own home situation and friend situation, but school and education. Different schools have different standards of what they think are appropriate rules of manners and etiquette for children. And if you're unsure of the standards of the school as a parent, it's your right to ask. I think that having manners shown in the classroom, for example, and we have big problems with this in Australia at the moment, in both the public and private school systems. And I'm not sure why people keep asking me as an etiquette consultant, why are children not respecting teachers? The teachers are asking for it. They're hopefully showing through their demeanour that they deserve it. What's happening in the homes that are meaning that these children think that they can be so disrespectful to those who are older than them. I mean, even back in the late 80s when my children were born, there was always an understanding that you would respect your elders. That was a saying. You will respect your elders. That's gone. And why is it gone? And so that leads me on to other situations which have perhaps influenced us as parents and grandparents, and therefore, because of this modeling concept, our children. Technology has been a really big one. When my children were growing up, it was a matter of taking turns in what channel you wanted to watch on the TV. There wasn't internet. There wasn't massive screen time. There was some screen time after homework during the week, and there was some screen time, meaning TV screen time, during the weekend. And the children, my two children, knew that they had to take it in turns. I mean, they were getting older, obviously, so that's where the empathy and the taking in turns started to come into place. But quite frankly, as their mother, if I heard them yelling at each other, or at the very worst, throwing a bit of a punch one way or another, the TV would be off the afternoon. That would be it. There would be nothing for either of them. So there were various times when I would be in the kitchen making something for dinner, perhaps, and I'd hear the two of them colluding, well, if you watch this for half an hour, I'll watch that for half an hour. How wonderful is that? They were sharing and then doing it in a secretive voice, so that I didn't know they were colluding. They were doing it together, not against mum, but in order to be well-mannered and respectful to each other and respectful for the rules that I had put in place. So my daughter, who has the 16, 10 and 8-year-old, is very specific about screen time for the children. She doesn't use it so much as a big stick against bad behaviour, but rather as something which is a reward for good behaviour. There are very limited times during the school week. There are more times, obviously, during the holiday time. And there's a little bit of time in the evening, perhaps. But the children always sit at a table to eat. Not always possible with parents who are working long hours, and so they do have either a grandparent or carer there to help them. But they do sit and eat at the table. And I think that that's really important because it's also showing modelling. So when my grandchildren come over here to Perth to me from Sydney, the meals are always taken at the table, and I encourage the children to actually set the table. I've taught them what to do. As their little hands have got bigger, their cutlery choices have changed. But right from the go-get, from the time they were about 3, I had little ergonomically designed bits and pieces for them so that they learnt that the cutlery as well as fingers were really part of the meal. As they got older, from about the age of 6 to 7, I started buying ergonomically designed knives and forks for them, understanding that I'm teaching Western etiquette here. And it was really important for them that they could actually feel pride in the fact that they were able to use cutlery. I mean, there are always times when cutlery is going to be put down and the little fingers are still going to be picking up something or other. But if you as an adult have the opportunity, or you have an adult, to eat with your children, the modelling is once again going to let them know that when they are eating, unless it's a restaurant where it's hamburgers and fries and fingers are absolutely the way to go with that. But if there's something that requires a knife and fork, teaching them very early on how to manage the knife and fork and the spoon when they're having soup or dessert or sweets, whatever you want to call it, is important. It's going to give them confidence. My children used to say to me, you know, I don't want to have friends around because you're known as, you know, Ms. Manners. But later on in life, when they were going to university, etc., moving on in their careers, their life journey, they would actually say to me, Mum, it was great that we knew what to do, because it just took another level of lack of confidence out of the equation. And I think it's confidence building. Manners are confidence building. It all starts with please and thank you. but it moves on to being able to make positive eye contact, to say thank you when you're given a gift, to say thank you when you're given a compliment. We're not even going to start from writing thank you notes for gifts. But I do think it's really vital that we give them this confidence, and there are so many ways that we can do it. But if just teaching our children, our grandchildren, manners is one of them, I think that we will be heading them in the right direction. And if we teach them the manners, the necessity and the importance of manners, if they're ever caught out, hopefully they'll come to us and in my case say, Lulu, I've been invited to this thing and I don't know what to do. Can you give me some advice? What a great pleasure that will be for me. The last point is that one of the questions I was offered was about peer influence. Peer influence is enormous in a child's life journey. I've seen it at various times with my children years ago, and I've certainly seen it with my grandchildren because I do try to get to Sydney for each of their birthdays. And there can be some nasty comments made, people trying to make others feel uncomfortable, children trying to make others feel uncomfortable. So do just be aware that instilling good manners in your child will mean that if they're ever confronted by bad manners in another child, they have the confidence to say, perhaps, I don't think that's a very nice thing to say to me, or to stand up for a friend. Or, I don't think that's kind. These are manners that are being reciprocated by your children and hopefully shown to others. So on that note, I thought I might speculate on future trends and challenges in teaching manners to children in the rapidly evolving landscape of technology. But if you don't mind, I'm going to leave it there because I'm off to Sydney soon with my children to see my grandchildren, and I'll probably get some more knowledge from them. I am always, it doesn't matter whether I'm having school holiday courses, which are called Manners Matter, or talking in schools, I always ask the young people what they think are the relevant manners for today. I'm learning from them all the time, and it's a joy. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to welcoming you back to Manners and Other Matters for our next episode. Thank you so much for joining me today. Your time and attention are greatly appreciated, and I hope you've found our discussion both enlightening and inspiring. If you've enjoyed our conversation and want to stay connected with us on this journey of elegance and refinement, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favourite podcast platforms. And why not share the wisdom with your friends and family? Etiquette is best enjoyed when it's a shared experience, after all. And for all the latest updates, behind-the-scenes moments, and exclusive content, be sure to follow the Percy Institute on Facebook and Instagram. And please also do join my Facebook group. It's called The Elegance Club, and you'll get exclusive offers and bonuses. Remember, the pursuit of a more elegant life is a continuous journey, and I'm delighted to share your journey. Feedback and engagement mean the world to me here, so please keep those comments, questions and suggestions coming. I love hearing from you. So until next time, my dear listeners, stay graceful, stay kind, and may your life be filled with elegance and joy. Thank you for being a part of Manners and Other Matters. Goodbye for now.